Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The sun is going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company, with Ned Michaels and Barney Owlery.
7 o'clock. It's time. Global Golf Radio, Wednesday night. A nice evening for some golf, by the way, here in the Nashville area. Ned Michaels, Barney Owlery, and our man Ryan A. Mudd behind the glass pushing some buttons. Speaking of on the golf course, Barney, you've been on the golf course almost all day.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this young man, Nicholas Henderson, that I've had the pleasure of working with since he was about 12, 13 years old. Well, he's 18 now and decided to go try to qualify for the U.S. Open. It was the local qualifier at Holston Hills. And so we went out there in Knoxville, and there was some moments of brilliance and flashes of brilliance, but unfortunately got a little cute with a few too many wedges, things like that. And then the putter wasn't stone cold, but one hot. And so I can confirm he is not playing in the U.S. Open this year.
And we'll give you a guide to how you should qualify. If you go to qualify, whether it's for your club championship, whether it's for a web event, which we'll also get to, because Knoxville is this week on the web tour, and how you should do it, how you mentally approach it, because exactly what you talked about seems to happen more often than not in qualifiers. You feel like you're getting a little bit behind, so then you push envelope, you walk that tightrope, and next thing you know, splat, you've fallen off and you don't make it. So we're going to give you a guide to how you can make it through your qualifier, even if it's just for the second flight or fifth flight, whatever it is, in your club championship. Get involved with a 615-737-1045. It's your show. It's Global Golf Radio. We're brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company, the Wells Fargo, Barney, Jason Day, his second win.
Yes, and so again, for those who follow the show, last year we talked about that Jason Day, again, that Xander Schauffele had two wins and combined Bubba Watson, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and Lydia Ko combined had zero.
Give me that list again. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's it. Xander Schauffele, who was unknown, completely
right.
unknown,
made
had
it through
two wins.
Sectional qualifying in Memphis to make it to the U.S.
That's
Open.
Right. That's right.
Top five and launches his career. No, I mean, for all intents and purposes, no one had really heard of Xander Schauffele.
Oh, except his mom and dad. And then that's it. And then, but a star-studded quartet of Bubba Watson, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and Lydia Ko, 2017 was simply a year to forget. And we talked about, you know, who's going to win first. And as it turns out, all four of them have now turned around and won. And now Jason Day, it's his second win of the year, and could be peaking at just the right time.
And we'll also get into why he's peaking at the right time and why he's playing so well. And it's not necessarily because of the long stuff. I'll give you that tip. Also, five players this week at the Players Championship can take over the world number one ranking from Dustin Johnson, who really you haven't thought about, but he's held it for over 12 months now. So we'll talk about those five players. Also get into the qualifying at the web event in Knoxville and down at the U.S. Open qualifying Holston Hills. The TGA is going to be calling in. And then, of course, we're going to skip over here in Nashville with Brian Jorgensen at 7:30 to hear what's going on out at Nashville Golf and Athletic. One of the Bisons, Lipscomb Bison, Dawson Armstrong, he's turned pro early.
Yes.
An interesting connection between he and a young man who played beautifully at the Wells Fargo last week. Phil and Tiger having at each other in the press conference. Do we think there's a made-for-television event coming our way? And do we want one? And if so, who's in it?
Maybe Barney Allery and Ned Michaels.
We will also debate, should the Players Championship be a fifth major? Bob Ford, the former head professional at Oakmont and Seminole. Barney, he had some electrifying comments about the golf ball
yes.
and rolling it back. And it wasn't necessarily that he said it. It was who he was reporting had said it to him that has set the golf world on fire. And that leads, of course, to the dirty word that we don't have to mute, but we probably should, biofrication.
Yep.
So we will debate all of that. This is a big show. We're not going to have enough time.
We've got a big show and probably almost a half dozen shut your mouth. A
lot of shut your mouths coming this.
A lot of them.
615-737-1045 Global Golfer Radio. Let's start. Let's at least pay off Jason Day and the Wells Fargo. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it because we don't have a lot of time. But Jason Day, now his second win, as you pointed out, he won at Torrey Pines, and he comes in. He's hitting as well as he has, better certainly than last year. He's much more mentally in tune. Last year he was kind of checked out for a variety of reasons. But Barney, it is all about short game for Jason Day.
Well, in the meantime, a lot of you may or may not have forgotten that in 2015 at the British Open at the Old Course in St. Andrews, he has a putt that might get him in the playoff, and he hits it short. And I'm sure he was enraged. And then, if you remember, he put on a driving clinic at Whistling Straits the following month. So he wins the 2015 PGA Championship.
Modern era, that might have been the best driving display that we've ever seen.
That was really remarkable. And then that's it. And then for different reasons, if you remember his back injuries, that he should have gone to Elite. They would have taken,
should have.
He should have.
And people don't remember the vertigo.
That's right. He had a little vertigo issue. That was at Chambers Bay in 2015.
That tends to come with back injuries.
And so anyhow, so then he kind of disappears a little bit. He's not able to play at the same caliber that he did in 2015. But now, lo and behold, he's coming back. And even though, yes, I try my best to follow golf as best as possible, I have to admit that even Nye did not realize it is his fifth consecutive win when he has a 54-hole lead. He had the 54-hole lead. He had the 54-hole lead by two shots. And he darn near tried to just give this thing away. But then when it really, really mattered, he smashes, I believe, an approximate 380-yard drive on 16. That's like me and you, Ned.
And yeah, then, after a wedge.
And then it was awfully close to being the number one shot of the year on 17, the par 3. And so, again, this is a Quail Hollow.
Really?
If that thing goes in the hole on the second to last... Yes.
But if it doesn't hit the flag, it's off the... That thing was racing.
If it hits the flag and it drops in the hole, let me put it to you this way. That would have been such a good shot that I'll bet you that ESPN would have had like number 7. Like, you know, in their top 10. Because I'm sure LeBron has done like... LeBron's going to take two or three.
LeBron deserves it.
Okay, whatever.
The golf show.
Whatever. So anyhow,
I thought it was an amazing shot, no doubt. But I thought also he got lucky to hit the flag because that ball is over the back, into the rough, and a very difficult up and down. Now, he was 222 yards away, and he hit what he was aiming for, so kudos to him.
So in the meantime, he now becomes the most successful Australian golfer in the history of the PGA Tour under the age of 30 with his 12 wins and a major. And then, I guess... Here comes one of my shut your mouths. Ned Michaels, are you ready for this? Because would you believe me if I told you that for the week, he hit 25 drives over 325 yards?
Good gracious.
Shut your mouth.
You shut it. Just right now, shut it.
Well, I'm not done shutting it. Because in addition to that, his strokes gained around the green at plus 1.25, that put him number 1. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want a formula for success, well, how about you bash one drive after another over 325 yards? And by the way, might as well go ahead and lead the field in strokes gained around the green. And while you're at it, why don't you just go ahead and be second in strokes gained putting while you're at it? And that's a formula.
Amazing.
That's a formula on a darn difficult golf course to a nice prescription to win. And so now here we are. Tomorrow starts the Players' Championship that he won 2 years ago. Now, again, it's so hard to win in back-to-back weeks. And, of course, guess what? Here comes the U.S. Open next month. And so he might be trending at just the right time.
So I'm gonna rewind. This is back to 2015, okay? So these stats, when I was working for Fox in the stats department, I dug this out. So this is not now. This is not current. This was going into the final round of the 2015 United States Open. All right, so since this is in the last 3 years, so that's 13, 14, and 15, okay? You got it? We're not talking about now. We're talking about then. Jason Day had 4 top 10s in majors. Of course, he hadn't won the PGA at this point. He bogeyed the 18th hole in each of those 4 majors when he finished top 10. So he finished, say, third in the Masters in 2013, second at the U.S. Open, eighth at the PGA, and fourth at the U.S. Open. He bogeyed in each one of those top 10s. And they're all top fives, those are.
Sure.
He bogeyed the final hole every single time. He bogeyed 17 and 18 on two different occasions, 2013 Masters and the PGA. So both of those times causing him to lose. He also has made a combined 9 bogeys on the back 9 in those 4 championships. The point I'm making is that he has figured out how to win.
Right.
Because early in his career, he was figuring out a way to lose.
Yeah.
And you would say, oh, he's figured out the back 9 at majors. No, 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 my friends. He's figured out the first 36 holes at majors. Because what was happening is he was getting so far behind that he was having to walk that tightrope that we were talking about. And eventually at the majors, you cannot do that. He would fire a great round Saturday, get going early Sunday, and he was still so far behind that he was just having to keep the accelerator down. And now he's figured out how to just plod his way around. And with his firepower and those short game statistics, watch out.
Watch out. And somebody else to watch out for, young Aaron Wise.
Mm-hmm.
21-year-old, played golf at the University of Oregon, won the NCAA championship, individual championship, and they won the team as well in 2016.
At their home course in Oregon.
That's right. That's right. So it all comes back to me. But he's a great player. But I also know someone else that lives in Nashville that beat him in a very important event.
You surprised me. I mean, you always surprise me with your knowledge, but this one had to take my hat off.
I'm guessing it was 2-ish years ago, but it might already be 3 years ago. But I think it was 2 years ago that Dawson Armstrong, Nashville's very own Dawson Armstrong, who's going to turn pro here, I guess very soon he's going to play in the West. Okay, well, it's already done then. And you're also, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get to go see him at theweb.com at Nashville Golf and Athletic here very, very soon. But Dawson Armstrong wins the Western Amateur, I think 2 or 3 years ago, hits a bunker shot on 18 to win for Eagle.
Knocked it in,
and the guy he beat was Aaron Wise. How about that?
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Shut your mouth again.
Last time I got to see Aaron Wise work with his coach in Vegas, Jeff Smith, they were working on adding some loft to his 4-iron because he was hitting it too far.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
I walked a few holes with him earlier this year at Pebble Beach. He and his caddy, Travis Perkins, who, by the way, is now caddying for Brant Snedeker, stole the bag man, but obviously he's working out. Aaron played so well. But he was talking about all of his new equipment and how he had finally found the driver, this Rogue Callaway, that he couldn't hook. He hates to see the ball go left off the tee, does Aaron Wise. And he finally found the driver. And look at this. On a golf course in Wells Fargo and Quail Hollow where you have to drive the ball well. And he's right there.
Well, and so when you say that, again, a driver he couldn't hook, we had this player at Austin Peay long, long time ago. So he gets his hands on this brand new driver, and he looks at it and goes, I can't hook it. Can't hook it. It's either straight or a little baby cut. And we're like, well, good for you. And we turn around on the first hole of the Clarksville Country Club, and darn it, if he doesn't hit the most incredible pull snap hook right dead into the trees, into the driving range you've ever seen. And we're sitting there going, yeah, right. Can't hook it, right? Can't hook it. You sure about that?
As soon as you say I can't, or I always in golf, you can guarantee the exact opposite.
But for Aaron Wise, good for him. And then my man crush, Nick Watney, he played good too, but we'll get back to that later.
He's the West Coast version of Dustin Johnson, minus a few yards off the tee.
That's
but you're right, we'll get to it later because we're going to take a break. When we come back, the TGA is going to be updating us from Holston Hills, where you incredibly drove this morning at 3 a.m.
Yep.
You caddied, you came back,
yep.
You're doing the show.
Here I am.
We will have an update on who has qualified for the United States Open sectionals from Holston Hills. Also a little capper for Knoxville. One of our guys, Taylor Davis from Nashville Golf and Athletic, has qualified. So that's coming up next. Global Golf Radio brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
All right. Welcome back into Global Golf Radio.
You're going to keep letting us do this?
We march on. I'm Barney Allery. I'm with Ned Michaels. And then joining us,
Executive Director of the Tennessee Golf Association, Chad Anderson. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're excited to talk to you because Barney actually woke up at what time did you wake up? 3:15 this morning?
No. Quarter to three.
Quarter to three. I didn't even know that existed. Well, actually, that's not true. Coming home sometimes. So you wake up at 2:45, you drive down to Holston Hills, you caddy, and then he's back, Chad, in the studio for the show.
Like it's nothing.
He didn't. His guy didn't make it, but he said that there was a 63 fired.
Yeah, 63 out there today with 29 on the front nine.
29 on the front nine. Who shot that?
That was, I forget, his name is escaping me right now. That was Sebastian Vasquez.
Sebastian Vasquez. Now, Barney, you had a little info on him that he had played there before?
Yes, because at Holston Hills, they had their Invitational on Saturday and Sunday, and it's my understanding with the player that I was with that I think he might have even gotten it to like almost like 12 under or something like that, and I think he had the lead going into the final hole, and then something went very, very wrong, and he either made a double or a triple, and I think he subsequently either lost in a playoff or lost outright, but evidently he gets along with that golf course very, very, very well. And I was out there today. It got windy, and that 63 is awfully strong.
Chad, what do you think, buddy? I mean, you got five spots, 78 players. When you're going into the day and you all are setting up the course and you're talking about the strategy, what are you thinking score-wise is going to get through?
You know, we've done this event for the past however many years at Holston. They're always very gracious to host. And, you know, that golf course at this time of year doesn't have any rough because it hasn't started growing in yet. So there's always some good scores out there. I think 63 has been kind of that number as the low round the past few years or close to it. So there's a lot of good chances for birdie when you play at Holston.
Yeah, and it's an interesting golf course in that it does feel like the more you play it, the better you will play it. There seems to be some type of course knowledge, almost where to miss it seems to be the most important.
Yeah, and it's one of those that, you know, it's the old Donald Ross, is very walkable. Everything's straight in front of you. There's nothing goofy out there. And, you know, their staff does such a good job of having the golf course in great shape at all times that, you know, you never have to worry about bumpy greens. It's just one of those magical golf courses that everybody enjoys playing. And if you're hitting it good, you give yourself some good chances of birdie.
All right, so I'm looking on the by the way, find them on Twitter. You can go to the Tennessee Golf Association. It looks like they've updated. Stuart McDonald, looks like he's in. Eric Esnett, looks like he's in. Henrik Simonsen, am I reading this right? Did Henrik Simonsen, the head pro at the Honors Course, get in? Am I reading?
Yes, that was at the site at Jackson Country Club.
That's Jackson Country Club. All right.
There you go.
All right, so while we're there, we'll go ahead and update you on those. Carr Vernon, how about Henrik Simonsen?
How about that?
Full-time head pro getting through, going to sectionals.
Still hits it a long ways.
Going to have to take a couple days off.
he's a great player.
Chad, you guys are running hot right now, huh? I mean, you guys are starting the season, everything now, all the work done in the wintertime. Now it's go time. Walk us through a little bit about the beginning of the season and how things initiate as we get into June.
Yeah, we just May is where we get started at, and we had our senior match play championship at the club at Fairview Plantation last week with Tim Jackson winning his 20th PGA championship.
Golly.
Which is awesome, but
I'm assuming that's a record.
That's a record.
By like 15?
Danny Green's just a couple behind him. So Danny Green's also obviously another great senior amateur that we have here in Tennessee, and they've battled it out for many years, and they played together on our Tennessee State Team Championship in 2003. That, you know, they won the USGA Championship as a team as those two and Brant Snedeker before he turned pro. So they play a lot of golf together and like to beat each other on the golf course a lot. So we have that one, and then here in about 2 weeks starts off the Franklin American Mortgage Tennessee State Open at the Grove, and we had 375. Golfers sign up to try to qualify to get in. So we've had qualifiers last week and this week, and we'll determine the field that will tee off there at the Grove.
Before Adam McCormick left, he promised Barney and I media sponsors exemptions into the Tennessee State Open, but we haven't seen those
now
yet.
I think I've misplaced the contract. I thought there was like a written contract. I'm not sure where it is, but Chuck, is there something you can do for us last minute, you know, good buddy, old pal?
Yeah, Yeah, bring me that contract and we'll see what we got.
He was stone cold serious, but we didn't know he was leaving. He said, well, we can definitely get you guys media
yeah,
exemption.
Yeah, it was one of those like, yeah, sure, of course. And then a week later, he's gone.
He knew what he's doing.
So, hey, back to the Holston Hills qualifier. Also, Vanderbilt, Commodore gets in. Mason Greenberg, very nice.
Yeah. Vandy had a couple guys there. Assistant coach Gator Todd, he's the second alternate there too. So, never know, maybe have a couple WDs and he gets in the field.
Do you know off the top of your head who were the five players who did get in? I'm looking for it now.
We had Vasquez. Shot 63, 65. We had Austin Squires and Brad Steele.
Yeah, and Ott.
And then Harrison Ott also shot 65 with Mason Greenberg at 66.
So if you want to qualify to the sectionals, all you have to do is shoot 66.
And hope.
And hope, that's right. And then get through in a playoff probably. Although this looks like I got in clean here.
Well, that was at Holston Jackson. It took 69 to get in. So, I mean, it's obviously different depending on which golf course you go to. And, you know, that's probably one of the bigger events that we run each year is the U.S. Open, the sectional qualifier in Memphis.
Yeah, talk to me. Sectional qualifier this year in Memphis. What courses are you all using?
So we're at Ridgeway Country Club again and Colonial Country Club, which used to host the St. Jude. That's where Guy Berger shot his 59 on the PGA Tour many years ago. And that will have, 108 to 120 players. That includes a lot of the tour pros. They come there because it's the same week as the St. Jude Classic. And so, some of the guys we had last year, Steve Stricker, Goosen, Sabatini, Hudson Swafford. I mean, the list goes on and on of guys trying to make the U.S. Open. Xander Schauffele, he qualified there, and that kind of started his run for the rest of the year. And he ended up winning at East Lake at the end of the year on tour. So, so it's cool to see those guys come to town, and they play both golf courses in one day. So 36 holes, and it's called the long stay in golf, and it's very fitting. Last year we didn't even get to finish; we had to play off and had to come back Tuesday morning to finalize our last. Last qualifiers.
Yeah, and Xander Schauffele was in that playoff. Weren't we all excited? Well, he might have actually gotten in that night, didn't he?
I think he got in that night. The next morning, Jonathan Randolph was
yes.
in that playoff. He ended up doing well. I think if you go back and look at the field that we had, a lot of them had good finishes at the U.S. Open.
Also a good
David
point.
Short. Yeah, Davis Shore, a local product out of Knoxville, he was in that playoff. He didn't make it through, but, what great experience for a graduating high school senior at the time. So it's good to see a lot of good golf, and it's fun to have them there and then cheer them on once the U.S. Open gets there.
Yeah, it's a cool deal. If you're down in the Memphis area, you can come out and watch it, and it's casual because the guys are wearing shorts, and they might even have their travel bag or their carry bag. They might not have their caddy, so you can get a little bit closer than you can. I mean, obviously, still a tournament, so you can't get on the field to play, but it's a fun watch, and as you said, you get to see former major champions and guys who are going to win majors or tour championships, like Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, exactly.
Find him on Twitter, at TGA Chad. He's the executive director of the Tennessee Golf Association, Chad Anderson. Chad, thanks for the update. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully throughout the year, if you get some time, we'll do some Golf Talk Tennessee.
Yes, sir. You guys just let me know.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
69 it takes or 66. Yeah. And that's not easy. And that's just local.
Yeah, nothing to it. Easy peasy.
It's intimidating when you start 78 players in only five spots.
Yeah, fairways and greens. Nothing to it.
Easy enough. We still have a couple minutes before we need to take a break. I want to know, here's the question on the table. All right, here's the question. Players Championship this week, should it be a fifth major? What do you think? Find us on Twitter. I am at Ned Michaels. Barney is?
At Simplifying Golf.
You could even get in touch with Ryan A. Mudd, but he actually thinks the Byron Nelson should be the fifth major.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Casey had to withdraw a bad back. Chattanooga connection. Keith Mitchell, who went to the University of Georgia, graduated from Baylor in Chattanooga. He gets in. He's playing in his first ever Players Championship, although he did play the Junior Players Championship when he was 16. So he's familiar with the golf course. I'm sure, because that's where they all come. Paul Casey's at Elite Sports Medicine Orthopedic Center right now. He's probably calling Dr. Colin Crosby. Whenever my back hurts, that's who I call. 615-324-1600. Barney had a lot of injuries in my career, and they always got me back on the golf course quickly, playing well, and they're going to do the same thing for you. Even if you're a couch potato, or Barney, if you've been in the car all day like you have.
Yep.
Yeah, I promise you they're going to make you feel better. Locations in Nashville, Cool Springs, Lebanon. Their new one at 204 Hayes Street. EliteOrthopedic.com. Give them a call. All right, so that's the question on the table. Should the Players' Championship be a fifth major? Mm-hmm. We'll see. Global Golf Radio brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Perfect for a little Florida Players' Championship. They were rocking it out last night. The military tribute concert. Jake Owen played last year. Yeah. Feels nice. Nice pick, Ryan A. Mutt.
Well done.
Global Golf Radio.
It's not Pat Green, but it's good.
We're brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. If you're shopping for a new home loan or refinancing your existing home, look no further than our good friends at Franklin American Mortgage Company. Barney, they've been locally owned for over 20 years by people that I know, people that I trust. That's why I refinanced with them just a couple of months ago. They're big. They're one of the biggest in the country, but they still have that personalized service that you'd expect from your hometown lender. They do so much for the golf community. And as well, they sponsored the Music City Bowl, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl since 2010. 1-800-295-1020. You can also find them online, www.franklinamerican.com. Franklin American Mortgage, it all begins with home. I'm having kind of a rough night. You ever had one of those? I put on a shirt today. I was like, this shirt, I look good in this shirt. About halfway through the day, I saw myself in reflection. I was like, you look like a complete lard in this shirt. You ever have those days? You're feeling good, and then all of a sudden, it just midday, something happens.
I try to have as few of those as possible.
All right, 615-737-1045. Hopefully, we'll be joined by Brian Jorgensen here shortly. He's the head pro at Nashville Golf and Athletic, where they'll be hosting the web.com event, the Nashville Golf Open, benefiting the Mandy and Brant Snedeker Foundation. And of course, Jake Owen is actually playing in that event as a competitor.
Woohoo!
It's a good idea. I mean, I don't know how he's going to play. I don't really care. He's going to bring eyeballs to the event. Hopefully, he has one good round Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Steph Curry finished second to last, shot a pair of 74s. And everybody thought he was going to be on the PGA Tour the next year.
No, not so fast. Not so fast. But we'll wish Jake the best.
Players Championship this week. Should it be a fifth major? Again, find me on Twitter. I'm at Ned Michaels. Barney is
at Simplifying Golf.
What do you think, Barney?
No.
No, why not?
No. There's just not enough history to the event. It's a great event. It's the closest thing to being the fifth major. But the LPGA has a little experiment going on with the fifth major. And, you know, because of course I'm going to associate the four current majors as the Grand Slam.
Yes.
And so there's only room for four. Again, I for sure don't want to get in a political debate. But again, imagine we're going to put somebody else on Mount Rushmore now. No. No. It's those four. That's it. That's it. And so the Players' Championship, similar to the Masters, is again played year after year after year on the same golf course. So there is a lot of history. But to sit there and not have, like, let's say Nicklaus in his prime, and he might be like going back the furthest in the modern era, because of course if you want to talk about, you know, Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Ryan Amon's favorite. And so anyhow, so to sit there and think that on this piece of property that Jack Nicklaus was never quite at his best when it came about, or Tom Watson, for instance, no. Single-handedly right then and there. Now, maybe if you want to go 20, 30, 40 years from now, okay, maybe. But otherwise, no.
And you look at the list of winners, too, and this, I mean, you could make this argument for some of the majors as well, but Siwoo Kim, yes, multiple-time winner now on the PGA Tour, no doubt a fantastic young phenom. but he wins. Going all the way, Tim Clark, he's won. He won in 2010. Stephen Ames, fellow Canadian, by the way, in 06. Not that Fred Funk wasn't a terrific player on the PGA Tour, but remember in 05 when he wins and throws his hat down? There have been some winners who kind of make you scratch your head.
Craig Perks,
who took zero putts in the last three holes.
But I will say one thing about this golf course, and that's why, do you want to hear my pick right now, or you want me to save it for later?
Save it for later.
Okay. But the golf course, so again, it's so much more about strategy, and to some extent, long ball hitters are handcuffed just a little bit. They have to be a little more precise than they want to be. And so consequently, it leaves the door open that a short hitter like a Tim Clark or Fred Funk might win, but also a long ball hitter like Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson might win.
Which is the marquee, really, of a great golf course, isn't it? Style game can win. A guy who draws the ball like McIlroy, or a guy who fades the ball like Keimer, 2014, when he completed the Mother's Day, Father's Day slam.
Yes.
But so that's the thing. I mean, the flip side of the argument of why it should be a fifth major, it's perennially the strongest field in golf. This year, they were going to have all 50 of the top 50 in the world until Paul Casey withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
But Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Tiger, and just since 2013. So they're big names who have won it. Stenson, Mickelson, Garcia. So you can certainly make an argument that strength of field and some of the big names that have won it and the golf course itself are major caliber.
So I love watching it. There's a lot of drama. Of course, you want to see if someone hits it in the water on 17 or on 18 for that matter. But the fifth major, no.
Not even close.
No. Pump the brakes.
So every major has its own personality.
That's right.
The British, the U.S. Open is difficult. The PGA is maybe the outlier just a little bit because it does vary from course to course that it goes to. But even it has a rich history dating back to the early 1900s. And, of course, the Masters with its heritage and Bobby Jones. The players, the golf course, what would be the personality of this major? Is it just volatility? Is it doubles and triples? And there are a lot of reasons, but I think you summed it up perfectly. We're going to add somebody else to Mount Rushmore? No.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. Not ready for that.
Now, in the meantime, can we look back just for a moment at who also finished second at Wells Fargo?
You cannot get off of this guy. Go ahead.
So when Ned and I, in our infancy of being in the radio together, I had my eye on Nick Watney.
Quite literally, folks.
To which Ned wanted to make a reference as a man crush. But anyhow, because long ball hitter, gorgeous looking golf swing, and now he seems like he's making a comeback. But unbeknownst to Ned, I always have my eye on guys that are slipping out. Because, again, every time a guy like Aaron Wise all of a sudden emerges, John Rahm emerges, somebody's getting bumped out on the back end. And so, again, for instance, not that long ago, Sean O'Hare, where did he disappear off to? But now he's starting to come back. But now here is at the top of my list of guys, and you actually just mentioned 5 minutes ago, Martin Keimer. Martin Keimer in small moments of time. Unbeatable. Wins the 2010 PGA Championship at Whistling Straits that everyone only remembers that as the Dustin Johnson fiasco in the bunker. But Martin Keimer goes on and wins. I want to say he was number one player in the world
he
at the
was.
Time. Sinks the winning putt in 2012 at Medina for the Ryder Cup.
And had been playing terribly coming into
that. Terrible in 2011 because he's trying to draw the ball, and that was a fiasco. 2013, he plays awful. He shows up at the Players' Championship. 2014, he wins. Wearing a pink shirt, he drops a 30-footer on 17 for par. Unbelievable. And then he turns around and he wins the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And he has been missing in action in the witness protection program since.
Shot 65-65 at Pinehurst to open.
If he backdoored his way into finishing seventh like 2 years ago, I don't remember it at all. But he has completely disappeared. Here's another one that's on my list. As Nick Watney was back then, Hunter Mahan.
Yeah, his has been quick, though.
Here's another one, Angel Cabrera. Maybe he's not getting any younger. Another one, Adam Scott. And I'm going to knock off a quick little list. Yanni Sen in the ladies. Carl Peterson. Tim Clark that we talked about. Brendan DeYoung. Bo Van Pelt. Kyle Stanley. Jonathan Bird. Stuart Appleby. John Sendin. Padraig Harrington.
Jeff Ogilvy, Sangmoon Bae, Y.E. Yang.
Well, give Sangmoon Bae some slack,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'll give him a little slack.
He's in the Korean Army for
Graham
2 years.
Graham Gillette. And then Nashville resident Ben Crane. It's been a while that Ben Crane's done well. And then you actually mentioned a few others as well.
My man crush. Bjornborg Olsen. Where
yes,
is he going?
Who looked destined for greatness a handful of years ago and completely disappeared. And then on the European squad as well, Victor Dubuisson.
Dubuisson. I mean, are you kidding me?
That had two chips right from the cactus in the match play. What was instrumental in the Ryder Cup, and then poof, done and gone. And then the best hair in golf, Robert Rock.
But there's only
one guy that can get better hair than that.
Yeah.
And it's you.
Yeah. Best hair in golf, Robert Rock. You're off your rocker. Are you kidding me? You got to go to Uncle Classic Barbershop. That's where I go for big events. We got Mother's Day is coming up. So I will be visiting Uncle Classic Barbershop. Locations all over town. I like to go to Nolensville, sometimes Brentwood, Belmead. I went last time. So for Mother's Day, I want to look nice, take my little son. And then whenever I have big events, Barney, that I'm going to be doing commentating and might actually be on camera, I go to Uncle Classic Barbershop. That is my barbershop. You can book 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. www.uncleclassicbarbershop.com. God, we have so much more to talk about. Bob Ford, the former pro at Oakmont and Seminole, has rocked the golf world with one sentence that he reported somebody very important at the top of the chain uttered to him. Are Tiger and Phil, are they trying to set up a grab for money in some made-for-TV event? And do you want to see it? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Who else might you want to see in that event? All of those conversations we will get to in the last segment of Global Golf Radio. We're brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
Rhyne Mudd. Outstanding, Rhyne Mudd. Well done. So, folks, we're standing on AT&T Global Golf Radio. And, Ned, are we having Mother's Day this year again? Didn't we have Mother's Day? Didn't we have that last year?
Well, some of us maybe didn't celebrate it quite properly. As you'll remember, we were visiting Mississippi. You, me, Bob Mueller, Craig Ray. We went down Waverly, Mossy Oak. We went on Mother's Day weekend. That might not have been our best decision, but it was awesome. It was worth begging and pleading and having to buy an expensive gift, because getting down to Mississippi, especially those two golf courses, fabulous. Visit them online, visitmississippi.org. I'm looking right now. There's the lineup of music and cultural events they have. Dave Matthews is playing, Hank Williams Jr. This one I'm in on right here, the Crawfish Boil.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Mississippi Book Festival, and of course, they've got the Grammy Museum. They've got the beach, for goodness sake, Dancing Rabbit, Tunica. I love Mississippi, and the weather seems to be always good down there. So check them out. Visit Mississippi.org. Our man Steve Azar, he's got his event coming up, too, in June. I talked to him today. I might go down there. All right. Players Championship, five guys, Barney, can take over the world number one ranking. Of those five, and we'll talk about them as we go here, who do you like? Justin Rose, Jason Day, McIlroy, Spieth?
I can tell you who I don't like, and it's Dustin Johnson.
The current number one.
This is not his type of golf course, and from my perspective, he's been stale here lately. If you want to point out to me which tournament and when he's finished in the top five, top ten here recently, it's not coming to me here recently. So I think that someone else is primed to clip him.
And the guys who are nipping at his heels, mostly former world number ones. I feel like Justin Rose deserves this honor.
Mm-hmm.
He has been so consistent, played well, took a month off during the, you would like to call it the off season, but in the wintertime, he took a full month off to get his stamina back, to get his golf swing in order, and he came out and has played some wonderful golf. Mm-hmm. He seems to be the man, in my opinion, who deserves the honor. Maybe he's not going to get it, but he's Olympic gold medalist, U.S. Open champion. It would be a nice moniker to have on his resume as world number one.
Yeah, and I love him, and I've loved him for a long time.
More than Nick Watney? I mean, the way you said that, I thought you were talking to your wife.
Oh, you silly. I'm surrounded by children in this place. And so anyhow, but no, very good player and fabulous golf swing. And been such a good player for a long, long time. You forget it was in the 1998 British Open as a teenager. And he holds out when Marco Mara went on to win. As I recall, that was at Royal Birkdale. And then he turns pro. And as I recall it, he misses. You think turning pro is easy? He misses 28 out of 28 cuts, as I recall. He either missed 28 out of 28 turning pro, or he missed 28 out of 29.
That would have broken a lot of guys.
And then quickly, he kind of figured out, I need to solidify my swing. Because, again, in that British Open as a teenager, he finishes fourth. And, of course, all of Europe, all of England is sitting there going, here's our next future champion. And all of a sudden, miss a cut, miss a cut, miss a cut, man. I can miss 28 out of 28 cuts. I'm telling you right now, I've got the skill. I can do that.
Ted Potter, the same. The guy who won out at Pebble Beach earlier this year. He came in his first year on the web. He missed every cut.
Yeah.
Incredible. So Phil Mickelson talked about in his press conference that he wants a piece of Tiger Woods. Or I think his exact quote was, Tiger Woods doesn't want any of me.
And I think you came up with a great idea of how they should do the payout.
So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the golf renaissance, especially here in Nashville. But we were saying, somebody called in and asked, will there be a made-for-television event like we used to see?
Like the Battle at Bighorn.
Battle of Bighorn, the shootout at Sherwood or whatever.
That's
right. And we said, absolutely yes. 100% it's going to be, especially if Tiger is able to come back and play well. He has proven that he can. So it's Tiger and Phil. It's a cash grab. But they should have to use their own money, first of all. It won't happen.
It won't happen.
It doesn't matter how much money you put on this thing. It's just going to be fun. Unless you get the antagonist involved. And you actually get guys who don't really necessarily like each other that much. That's why it was so good with Duval and Tiger. Because they didn't...
Sergio and Ian Poulter.
Sergio and Ian Blaipoa. It's a flash forward to the Ryder Cup. They like each other on the outside, but on the inside, they want to beat each other. They want to rip each other's faces off.
Yep.
That's the only way it works. Jason Day, McIlroy, Mickelson, and Woods, that does not do it for me. I've got to have some animosity.
I know. That'd be great. And tell us about what Bob Ford said.
All right, so Bob Ford, head pro or former head pro at Oakmont and at Seminole, he said, quote, I would be surprised if the ball isn't rolled back soon. But what was interesting was that he was quoting Mike Davis, the head man at the USGA. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, I don't know if it's true or not, but coming from Bob Ford, you have to assume that it's true. Mike Davis saying that it was his goal before his tenure is up at the USGA to see the ball rolled back.
That's crazy.
So he will certainly, Mike Davis will certainly be asked about that at the media day for the U.S. Open, and I will be curious to see his thoughts, to see if he really said that. Shocking, in my opinion, and I think also horrifying at the same time.
Well, let me tell you something that's not shocking and horrifying. Actually, quite the contrary, and that's hers and his. Ladies and gentlemen, hers and his care very much about the safety of their customers. They've got letter vehicles, uniformed plumbers. It's hers and his. They can also take care of all of your heating and air needs, because did anyone bother to notice that all of a sudden it's getting warm all of a sudden? We went straight from winter right into summer. Goodbye, spring. But hers and his can take care of all of your heating and air and plumbing needs. You can find them at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also find them online at www.hersandhis.com. Ned Michaels has so much confidence in hers and his. He sent him to his mother-in-law. He sent him to his neighbor. That's confidence. That's hers and his.
And that's the truth.
And that is the truth.
You don't understand that I have a ton of respect for Mike Davis. I like Mike Davis. I just can't believe that he's talking about rolling the ball back. What are your thoughts? You've got a minute and a half.
I think it's a horrible idea. A horrible idea.
Bifurcation. This is bifurcation, in case you don't know, is the separation of rules for the professional body and the amateur body.
I think it's a horrible idea. You've got better athletes and that are just going to hit it further. That's all there is to it. And you could go ahead and give them Persimmon and Bellotta, and you know what? You've got better athletes, and they'll figure out a way to make that Bellotta golf ball go further than it ever has, ever. When you've got over 120 miles an hour club head speed, the collision of the club and the ball's going to go. They'll figure out a way.
I just hate the idea that one of the great appeals of this game is that Tiger Woods uses the same equipment that I use, that you use, that the amateur uses, and we can go play the same golf courses and test ourselves in similar conditions. Very, if anywhere else, maybe bowling or something like that, can you find this?
And speaking of Tiger Woods, here's a shut your mouth. Would you believe me if I told you that in Tiger Woods' career, I believe he's played 1,167 rounds in his career? He's only had 9 rounds in his career that he hasn't had a birdie. Shut your mouth.
Where'd you find that?
And here's another little shut your mouth. Did anyone bother to notice Bernard Langer won this weekend? It's his 4th win since turning 60. Shut your mouth. Hey, again.
A tip of the cap to Emma Talley, who's qualified. She's from Birmingham. She's qualified for the U.S. Open, which, of course, is at Shoal Creek.
And folks are going to want to keep it on 104.5 The Zone. Pit Reporters will be coming up in just a little bit.
I apologize for my effort tonight. I promise I over-researched. That was the problem. Ryan A. Mudd hit too many buttons. Thank goodness Barney was here. We'll do better next week, I promise. Global Golf Radio. See you next Wednesday at 7.